Hello, and welcome to show number 2422 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program covering a wide variety of topics of interest to people with vision loss. I'm Nancy Goodman Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
One of the things with COVID and everything, especially as we get older, for good health, you have to keep relationships. And you know, when you're low vision or blind, what happens is people tend to withdraw within themselves. And CCLVI, boy, I go on, I recognize a lot of people. Oh, how you doing? So it keeps you out there with social contacts with other individuals.
And today's show is all about making those important social connections with others.
The Council of Citizens with Low Vision International is an affiliate program of the American Council of the Blind. Their mission is to connect people with low vision to share information, experiences, and fun. We'll speak with members Christine Chaikin and Tom Frank about the group and the resources they offer. But first, for our tip of the week. Well, this week, as we mentioned, we have two guests, and therefore we have two tips. The first one is from Tom Frank.
And a tip that I would give is that if you're low vision and you need help, yes, we're there to help, CCLVI, but also check with your state, local area. There are other organizations out there that may help you. And the most important thing is to make contact with other people with low vision. And you can share tips, tricks, and sort of commiserate together and say, I hit that hole that I didn't see and fell down. Well, I did that yesterday, too. Well, you know, that's the way it is. And you help each other deal with the problems that you're facing each day.
And that's a great point, to connect with others and find out about the available resources that are around, because especially if you lose your vision later in life, you don't know about these resources. You don't know about these ways of doing things that can make life a little bit easier. And so it's a good idea to start that journey and find out how.
And the second one is from Christine Chaikin and is a specific example of how you can follow Tom's advice.
For the tip, I would suggest people spread the word about CCLVI. So if they know somebody that has low vision and they're saying, oh, I'm looking for a special interest ACB affiliate that specializes in low vision, they could recommend the website to them of cclvi.org.
And you have a ton of resources there, ways to meet people, ways to find out about more resources, and all kinds of other things. So it's a very useful website.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by meeting Christine and Tom.
Well, today we have two guests with us, Tom and Christine, and who wants to start by introducing themselves?
So my name is Christine Chaikin, and I am a member of CCLVI, which stands for Council of Citizens with Low Vision International, and I serve on the following committees, which include public relations, publications, membership, and I also help with Let's Talk Low Vision, doing the scheduling as well as the show notes.
Do you have other volunteer activities or paid work or anything?
Well, I also have my own company on top of that called Insightful Publications, where I do state resource handbooks for the blind and visually impaired communities.
And Tom, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and who you are.
My name's Tom Frank, and as a low vision person, my vision started going bad like 54 years ago when I was in the Army. And just slowly, slowly bad. So I'm gone through just about all the stages of low vision. I'm chair of the Public Relations Committee for CCLVI. And when I retired about 7 years ago now from the Social Security Administration, all of a sudden I had more time on my hands. So I had enough time to help CCLVI dealing with public relations and the other activities they're doing.
CCLVI is a community of low vision individuals. Tom, you just mentioned that you're low vision. Christine, are you also?
So I am actually also visually impaired.
Support for Eyes on Success comes from our listeners and corporate sponsors.
For more information about airing promotional items on the show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is the informational and recreational programs and other resources available from the Council of Citizens with Low Vision International.
Well, in the introduction, you both talked about being part of CCLVI, and I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about what the organization does and what its overall mission is.
Okay. Well, CCLVI, as it says, Council of Citizens with Low Vision International, and it's an affiliate member of the American Council of the Blind. There are a lot of state affiliates and special interest affiliates of ACB, but we deal specifically with low vision. Why? Because one of the founders was Dr. Sam Jelensky back in 1979. And I'm aware of it because I got out of the Army as my vision was going bad. And I went to rehab at one of the Veterans Administration's first rehab centers. And that was in West Haven, Connecticut in 1973. And when I met the director, he looked at me and he was totally blind. And he said, "You know, you're not blind and you're not fully sighted. A lot of us, we don't know what to do with you. You're neither fish nor fowl." And they were just working with people with low vision. And that's why CCLVI was created, because 90% of individuals who are classified as blind have some usable vision. And that's what we emphasize, helping people use the vision that they have remaining.
That's an interesting point. Many people, when they talk about someone being blind, they consider that as a single type descriptor, when, as you say, it's really a large range of different visual abilities and disabilities.
And of course, some of the access technology that people need depends very strongly on what level of vision they have. I gather CCLVI coaches people in terms of what kind of access technology would be most useful for them?
Absolutely.
You mentioned Samuel Jelensky. Who is he?
Sam Jelensky was the inventor of the closed-circuit television that those with low vision know, the TV camera and a monitor to enlarge the print. Before that, you only had magnifying lenses, but when you're holding a piece of paper like 2 inches from your nose, that gets a little tiring, especially if you're going to school, college. So the closed-circuit television set was made for low-vision people.
The CCTV was invented in 1968. I actually started using one in graduate school in 1975. And at that point, I was able to see text on the screen that was made large and with lots of contrast, and it enabled me to read my textbooks and write my equations.
I remember seeing that device. It was enormous. The camera was almost as long as your arm, and there were wires all over the place. Things sure have improved.
So, Christine, when you talk about the CCLVI being an international organization, tell us a little bit about the breadth and reach of the program.
So basically, CCLVI has people that are in different states that join. We do have 5 different CCLVI chapter affiliates, which are California Council of Citizens with Low Vision, Delaware Valley Council of Citizens with Low Vision, Florida Council of Citizens with Low Vision, Kentucky Council of Citizens with Low Vision, and New York State Council of Citizens with Low Vision. Now, if you happen to be in a state where you don't have an ACB state affiliate, you can also join CCLVI as a member at large.
How long has CCLVI been in existence?
They have been in existence for 45 years. Yeah, so they actually were founded in 1979.
And when you say it's an affiliate of the American Council of the Blind. What exactly does that mean? Are you a separate organization or a part of the ACB or what?
CCLBI is actually a special interest affiliate of the American Council of the Blind. So in other words, if you were to become a member of one of the ACB special interest affiliates, you automatically become a member of American Council of the Blind.
Tell us a little bit about what your special interest group offers to people who sign up for it.
So CCLBI has several different events. So on the first and fourth Monday, we do a general topic chat. On the second Monday, we have game night. On the first Thursday, we also have Let's Talk Low Vision. And CCLBI also has several different committees. And one of the committees that we have is a committee called the Janinski, which is where they give away different magnification devices, and that happens every year. So if anybody is interested in finding out more information about Janinski, they can send an email to cclbijaninski@gmail.com. We also have another committee called e-communications, where if you have a technical background and either helping with the websites or a technical background in social media, if any of your listeners have questions about the e-communications committee, you can send an email to cclvi webmaster@gmail.com. Then we also have another committee called scholarship, where we give $3,000 to individuals which are incoming freshmen, undergraduate, and graduates. So if any of your listeners have any questions about that or want more information about that, they can send an email to cclbischolarship@gmail.com. And we also, CCLBI also puts out a newsletter called Vision Access, which we are always looking for content. So if anybody is interested in sending us content for a Vision Access newsletter, you can send an email to cclbivisionaccess@gmail.com.
I assume this newsletter is distributed electronically?
So the CCLBI newsletter is available on email, and it is also available by large print hard copy.
Neat. Some of these other endeavors of CCLVI sound like they get expensive. Where does your funding come from?
Basically, how that works is people donate and, you know, give us donations and stuff like that. CCLVI is a 501c3 nonprofit. And one of the other committees that we have is CCLVI fundraising, where they come up with different CCLVI fundraisers to help the organization, CCLVI. So if anybody has any questions about the fundraising, you can send an email to cclbifundraising@gmail.com.
You mentioned a lot of possibilities for interacting with other members. I take it this is all done via Zoom?
All of the CCLBI calls are done by Zoom. So anybody can join them. CCLBI also has a CCLBI info email list, which is an email list where you can get a weekly schedule of what's going on of the different CCLBI events. And you would also, once you subscribe to that email list, you would also get reminders of that event that's going on that day. So if anybody is interested in subscribing to the CCLBI info email list, you can send an email to cclvi-info+sign@acblists.org.
Well, that makes it very handy, and it sounds like a great way for people with low vision to interact with other people in a similar situation and trade ideas and tips and just chat with one another.
That's true. And if anybody has any questions about becoming a member, you can send an email to cclbimembership@gmail.com.
How many members do you figure you have at this point?
CCLBI has, I believe, 240.
Wow.
I assume with all of this going on that you're also interested in people who want to volunteer to actually take care of some of these resources and manage websites and email lists.
So speaking of resources, CCLVI has a resource page that people can go to, which is cclvi.org/resources. And when you go to that resources page, you will find a lot of different information. Some of those categories include about books and entertainment, writing tools, video tutorials on how to do different things, just to name a few.
I was actually on that site. It looks like a very useful site that's easy to navigate and quickly find what you're looking for. Your site is very clean and has some very useful resources on it. I would encourage people to go to it.
Well, thank you very much.
You talked about some regular meetings that CCLVI holds. What do members do when they meet?
One thing we do, like on that Monday that Christine was mentioned at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, on the third Monday, we have a peer support, and then we have the game nights for people to get. The purpose of that, when low vision people come on, there are problems associated with low vision. One of them is, when do you start using a white cane? There's a lot of people, they're losing their sight. Well, I'm not blind. I don't need a white cane. I'm not going to use one. And then they fall down and they're embarrassed.
That is not good. If you're in denial, you can't advance your situation and make it better.
It's a matter of accepting what you are. Do I want to have low vision? No, but I need to learn how to deal with it. And that's really what we help people do, learn to live with low vision, be as productive as they possibly can, and live, you know, it's almost a cliche now, full and rewarding life. But that's what we try to do for people.
And as you say, there's a resistance to saying, I do need some help here, and a cane would help, or a magnifying glass would help. And once you get over that hurdle, life can sometimes be a lot easier.
And then at the point, at the certain point, we have the CCTVs. They no longer work for me. But when do you switch over to speech, voiceover on an Apple device, or I'm trying to ram TalkBack on an Android device? And then where do you get help learning that technology? We also try to help and guide and cajole people when they reach the point where they can no longer read print, but there are other ways to access it.
Along those same lines, it's always a good idea to plan for the future. It's not often that vision improves as we get older. So if you're already low vision and using some assistive devices, you might plan for what happens if my vision gets worse and start to learn some of those tools before you absolutely need them.
Right. But once again, you need to accept the fact that it's likely to get worse. And there's a lot of people with low vision, once again, that read, have great lives, get college educations, have great jobs.
Once a person who's losing their vision has found CCLVI, they've obviously already started looking for places where they can get help. And CCLVI is a great resource, but you're not going to be fitting people with special glasses and special devices. Where do you typically send people and recommend that they go to try to get training or devices that can help them with their daily lives?
Well, I'm here in Vermont, and I would say you go to the Vermont Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, which is sort of the adult rehab organization here in Vermont. Every state has somehow a rehab division for the blind. They also have a division for the blind that help people with job-related issues. And then also in the schools, children who have low vision or blind come under the Education of All Children Act, and they have teachers for the blind. Another thing that we recommend is you need to learn to advocate for yourself, or if you're a parent, advocate for your children.
I want to make another point about assistive devices such as canes and using guide dogs, et cetera. I find that carrying a cane often makes interactions with other people in public a little easier. So for example, Nancy can perfectly guide me around. I don't need a cane when I'm following her. But just having my cane, people are more pleasant. They step out of the way for you when you're on a sidewalk. You know, they're get out of your way when you get on a plane. And it just makes interactions easier. And then people aren't always wondering, is this person just out of his mind or something when you're stepping the wrong way and you don't have a cane. They don't recognize that it's just because you can't see that you're in the wrong place.
And you know how the cane keeps you out of trouble. When you go up to the door and you're going real class and look at it and the door opens, excuse me, ma'am, obviously this is the wrong door that I'm looking for. Oh, men's room's down there.
It can avoid some embarrassing situations, yes.
Exactly. I have done that a couple of times. I'm sorry. Hold up the cane. I have problems seeing, and they don't really believe you if you don't have a cane. And we recommend people, even if you're not using it for mobility, get yourself one of the identification canes. Very, very lightweight. You can hide it when you don't want to use it. But when you want to just point out the fact that you can't see, when you're waiting at the bus stop or waiting for an Uber, you pull that thing out and they say, oh, that's why he can't see me. He can't see me.
Yeah, it's a good flag to other people.
Yes.
I tease Pete sometimes that he just brings his white cane for show. But what I really mean by that is exactly what you've been saying. It identifies him as being blind, even if he isn't tapping with it. And I still have to tell him there's a curb coming up because he really isn't using it. But it has all of these other benefits of just letting other people know that he can't see.
Exactly. And then also it puts other people at ease. You're not ashamed of having a vision problem. And though you probably know as a couple, as soon as you pull it out, they'll start talking to you, Nancy, and not to Peter.
You know, that makes me crazy. Some server at a restaurant will ask me what he wants, and I'm like, I don't know, ask him.
Exactly. But once again, also look, as you become more comfortable having low vision, you can say, I'm sorry, yes, ask him. People tend to get angry at the first, and we try to say, don't get angry. They're not doing it because they're mean or whatever. They don't know. It's a great time to educate people on what it is to be low vision and, you know, just help. That's all.
Well, this sounds like a great organization that can be useful, not only learning tips and tricks and suggestions from other people, but also making good friends across the country. So keep up the good work.
Well, thank you very much, because one of the things with COVID and everything, especially as we get older, for good health, you have to keep relationships. And you know, when you're low vision or blind, what happens is people tend to withdraw within themselves. And CCLVI, boy, I go on, I recognize a lot of people. Oh, how you doing? So it keeps you out there with social contacts with other individuals.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about the Council of Citizens with Low Vision International, or CCLVI, how to contact them, and how to join if you're interested.
Well, Christine, you mentioned a whole lot of contact information in the main part of the show itself, and we'll have all that contact information in the show notes, so there's no need to repeat it here. But maybe you can tell people where to go to find out more about the organization, and they can dig down into some of this information later on themselves, and maybe even sign up.
To find out more information about CCLVI, you can visit the CCLVI website at cclvi.org. And if anyone has any questions about CCLVI, you can send an email to lowvisionoutreach@gmail.com.
And do you have a social media presence?
Yes, we do. CCLVI is on social media, on Facebook under the name called Council of Citizens with Low Vision International. And we are also on LinkedIn at the same name of Council of Citizens with Low Vision International.
Is there a phone number if anybody wants to reach someone?
So if anybody wants to contact CCLVI by phone, you can call them toll-free 844-460-0625 between the hours of 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern and 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Pacific.
And I assume on your website, people can find the schedule for the meetup events that you talked about and also find a way to subscribe to your information newsletter.
So that is one of the benefits of being a CCLVI member, is getting that Vision Access newsletter. If anybody wants to get an idea as to what kind of articles are in Vision Access, they can go to cclvi.org/visionaccess.
And just before we were ready to end the interview and sign off, Tom had one more question.
I have one question of you, Pete.
Yeah.
When she's guiding you, I always carry my cane in a defensive position. Do you do the same thing?
Oh, mostly, yeah. In fact, you know, she tells me I'm kind of lazy because I'm not using it as I would if I was alone. And so sometimes I'll miss some things. But I usually carry it mostly as a defensive thing and to show other people, keep people out of my way and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and they know. Or if I trip over a curb because she forgot, she doesn't say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I missed the curb." She'll just say, "Weren't using your cane right, were you?"
That's what I hear.
We've had exactly the same discussion.
It is a trade-off, isn't it?
Yep, I tell you, that's why you get the other low-vision people, you find out.
I guess so.
My wife does the same thing.
Hey, at least my wife puts the orange juice exactly where it came from in the refrigerator. I hear many other blind people complaining about that.
Oh,
my wife is super organized.
Well, I've had 40 years of training to put things back. My rule of thumb is everything goes where I know Pete thinks it is.
Okay.
That may not be where I found it, but if I know where he thinks it is, that's where I put it. And that seems to be working pretty well for us. Orange juice included.
Orange juice included. Okay.
Okay.
All these ways you learn, and it doesn't make any vision. What the case is, yeah, that's just how spouses get along together. Or they don't, if they don't make those compromises.
True.
Yeah.
You can find all of that information and much more if you click on the show notes associated with this episode, which is episode number 2422. And there's also a Word document you can download with much more information about CCLVI.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about Listen Later, a new app that transforms articles, websites, and other written content into a podcast that you can listen to with your favorite podcast app. Simply email a link or attachment and hear it read out loud in a natural synthetic voice. We'll talk with founder Yalom Gerger to explore how Listen Later can change the way you consume information.
So if you're interested in transforming that type of information into your own custom podcast, you'll want to join us next week to learn about that.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.